time is 7:45. Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I just have to say, guys, I'm joining in the collective eye rolling over here. I think, can we just cancel the sensitive cancel culture nonsense?
Honestly, I agree.
That's actually the word that should have made it into Collins. Rolene, I don't know if you were listening earlier. We were talking Collins Dictionary have released their new word for 2019. And, of course, there's a shock. It's climate strike.
Oh, somebody give me strength. I have to say, one thing I really love about Israel, and I have to put it out there, I mean, we're not known for our particular sensitivity or political correctness, but with that brings the ability to argue about who you're voting for and not cancel the other person's opinion or existence out. You know, it's pretty much an accepted way of life. This one disagrees with that one. Zeba said it, life goes on. You can mention Christmas here. In fact, I think the JNF that even distribute Christmas trees. You know, nobody's hiding behind offending anybody. Everybody's holidays are mentioned quite happily. You know, there's none of this nonsense here. There's bigger things to deal with in life.
Yeah, maybe it is a blessing. Maybe if these are the bigger issues, then we are truly blessed. I don't know. Let's just talk about what's going on in the UK, because I see that there's a lot of discussion around Jeremy Corbyn. Jonathan Sachs having just written also a very, very, very powerful piece. If I get to some time a little bit later, I'll tell you about it. We'll do that just after 8:30. UK Jews are very worried.
Well, earlier this week, Jeremy Corbyn said, you know, UK Jews have nothing to worry about a Labour government should it win and come to power. But I don't know, is he living in Narnia, guys? Because he doesn't seem to be registering the fear. He doesn't seem to be noticing half his party leaving because of anti-Semitism. And the bog standard excuse that he seems to be giving, or that his supporters seem to be giving, is Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party have always worked against racism and discrimination of any kind. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for them to wake up. The front page of the Jewish Chronicle yesterday was an appeal not just to the Jewish community, but to Britain's voters, Britain's electorate, appealing to them, please do not vote a Labour Party government into power. We have the shock resignation of the deputy leader, Tom Watson. He stepped down and he's saying, I'm voting Tory. He's stepped down because of anti-Semitism. A significant amount of MPs have left because of anti-Semitism. You know, there's been such a lot of coverage in the media because of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, and they're suing the tabloids because of untruths and bias and alleged harassment. But one just has to look at the amount of Jewish MPs or MPs who have stood up against anti-Semitism and the harassment they have found, some of them are having to be escorted under police protection to Parliament. You know, I don't know what the final straw is, but I don't know if Jeza Corbyn is just really, really stupid, but the Jews of England and us around the world are concerned about somebody who fraternizes with terrorists and lays wreaths at the graves of murderers of the Israeli Olympic team, and who makes such appalling statements against the Jewish state. I don't know, is it me, Howard? Am I oversensitive?
Could be. It's all of those coffee cups. But Rolene, it's astounding, really, to see that it's even got this far. Because who would have ever thought that this would be a central issue, in fact, probably the issue, in the 2019 British election? It's quite remarkable that this is what it's boiled down to. And yes, of course, there are other issues, and Brexit's another one, and there are real issues that that every country faces. But that this has almost condensed down to this issue, in of itself, is a wonder.
It is, and it's very, very frightening. I mean, I monitor the UK media every single day, and I don't think that there is a day that goes by where there is not some kind of story, an expose, a criticism, a comment against this. And, you know, I was, you know, I'm a royalist. I follow pop culture. I follow all of this with keen interest. And I read the letter sent to the Duchess of Sussex by Labour Party MPs, female Labour Party MPs. And I thought, where's your voice on your fellow MPs who have been persecuted, because there's no other word for it, who have been discriminated against, some who have even said they've considered suicide because of anti-Semitic discrimination. You know, we've also had Jeremy Corbyn trying to silence the BBC for their panoramics exposure on anti-Semitism. This is a real, real problem, and it worries me that it doesn't seem to be sinking into his head what a massive problem he is creating, or he just doesn't care. I'm going with the latter. He just doesn't care. But for Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks and for the community to start appealing to the great electorate tells you Britain has a hatred of Jews problem.
Most certainly does. Flip side of that is some interesting things that happened here in South Africa this week, and that of course is Cyril Ramaphosa's comments about technology and about entrepreneurship in Israel. It was absolutely remarkable and very heartwarming to see that.
It was, especially if we consider that this is a major departure from the trajectory that we've seen from the ANC and their position with regards to Israel. You know, they're famous for saying, don't visit the country. There is a large portion of the party, I'm not going to say the whole party, that has been, and I'm going to say it quite bluntly, hijacked by the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. There has been this almost polarization in South Africa against any kind of support of Israel. And to hear the president coming out at a very, very important forum, the Women's Business Forum of South Africa, and quite loudly saying we need to laud Israel. They are leaps and bounds ahead of everybody, and he cited the different areas where Israel is a world leader. I thought it was very interesting for him to mention maritime technology, and thank you to President Ramaphosa. But, you know, I think maybe South Africans are getting sick and tired of divisive politics. What do you think, guys?
Well, there's no question that the last couple of weeks have reinforced the fact that South Africans actually can't stand divisiveness. By nature, South Africans aren't like that. And the reality as well, coupled with the fact that all South Africans actually want is to fix this country. So when you start focusing on another country, almost obsessively, like South African government has tried in the past. It's really all that is diversion tactics, is to say, well, we're not going to look at our mess of our own creation back home, but we're going to look further afield. It's classic diversion, and I believe that South Africans are sick of it. They do need, and we do want our own problem solved. If we could look around the world rather and say, well, you know, here's a solution that we could bring to South Africa, and here is, you know, from this country or that country or another country, that's actually what South Africans want. And it was very interesting at the Singularity Summit that I attended a couple of weeks ago. There was, and it was attended by maybe 2,000 people from across the business spectrum as well as politics. Very, very interesting group of people. There was significant reference to what Israel has managed to achieve, and how many of the solutions that Israel has found with regard to sustainable energy, with regard to water, agriculture, etc., etc., could be applied to South Africa to make a tangible difference to people's lives, as it has made to other parts in Africa. So I believe that South Africa is waking up to that, and isn't as fixated, or isn't allowing a fixation on that issue. And you can even see it with the Clover deal, where the BDS did try to muster up up some support for a boycott of clover, but I don't know. It seems to have drowned in a carton of cottage cheese.
I think so. I mean, we started a cottage revolution here in Israel several years ago, and perhaps this is South Africa's cottage revolution. We're not interested, or South Africans are not interested in divisive accusatory politics. You know, let's work together. We showed the world magnificently on Saturday what can be accomplished when you rise above the differences and focus forward. And I think South Africans can do it on the global stage as well. A deal like Clover is bringing billions of rands of investment into the country, which is much needed. But also what is very interesting, you know, we talk about Africa and the work that Israel has done and continues to do in Africa, especially in areas where there are massive challenges like security, like agriculture, like water tech. I was speaking to a former ambassador to Senegal a couple of months ago, and he said, you know, when you speak to leaders of various African states and Muslim states, they're not interested in taking sides. They don't see why they should have to choose one side or the other in a conflict that has nothing to do with them. Their only focus is sorting out the issues in their country. And look how well that seems to be going. So I think, are we starting to reach a turning point in South African politics? I really hope so.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. We've only got a few more minutes, but I do want to cover this other subject because it's starting to make global news as well, and that is that a Holocaust survivor in Italy gets police guard and police protection after online anti-Semitism. Tell me about the story.
So there's an 89-year-old Holocaust survivor. Her name is Liliana Segre. She lives in Milan. She is a senator for life, and she has actually had to be assigned permanent paramilitary police security. Not just your ordinary bobby, but your basically your special forces security because of threats against her. Apparently, she has. I mean, this is just staggering. She has about 200 social media attacks every day.
Unbelievable.
Let's just absorb it. She recently lobbied for the creation of some kind of a parliamentary committee to combat hate and anti-Semitism and racism of any kind. But this is as a result of exposing that this is the kind of online bullying that she's seeing. And, you know, the problem with social media is that on the one hand, you know, we get to do amazing things like share footage of a Rugby World Cup win or in my case, copious amounts of koala pictures, but it also has a very, very, very dark and dangerous side, and it's allowed the people of a particular ideology to go online and harass people, whether they be Jewish, whether they be any other kind of race or religion, and basically break them down with hatred because they can hide behind a computer.
Yeah, absolutely frightening. At 7:59, Leslie says, more importantly, Rolene, now that Israel is involved, do you think that Clover will start churning out yummy Israeli kind of cottage cheese and not to mention the amazing yogurt? Other messages. Gimple says, how are we the Singularity Summit? Sounds like it was non-boundary. That's cute. Ronnie says, Jeremy Corbyn's delusion. Nothing has really changed with the left. Yossi is saying, all right, no, that's about the South African word. So we'll come back to that in a while. All right, Rolene Marks, this is unfortunately where we love and leave you. The time really goes very, very quickly when we're chatting. But I guess time does fly when you're having fun. We'll catch you next week. Have a Shabbat Shalom. Have a fantastic weekend.
Shabbat Shalom, guys.
And we'll speak to you then. It's 8 o'clock. Here's Anati with your news.